I think for the sake of the time, we're going to get started here, and we'll call it to order as soon as we have quorum. But we're just going to start off by, I'm going to give you a description of what we have before us. We're going over the congressional district plans for the state of Minnesota. We have 8 congressional districts. We were fortunate enough, in order to retain all 8 congressional districts that we had, we beat out, I think it was North Carolina, that we beat out by about 15,000 people. We're grateful for that and being able to keep that. 10 years from now, I'm not sure if we will be able to. We do not have quorum. That's why I haven't got. And that's why just glad that we have all of those, all of the citizens of Minnesota participated in the census process and were able to help us retain our 8th congressional seat. In the packets, members, you have the plan as proposed today. It's House File 1426. And just to go over a couple of statistics for you, based on what we had current plan, under the current plan, I'm going to go through each district and give you an idea of what the population gain or loss was necessary for these each of these congressional districts. And I'll start off with Congressional District 1. We must gain 18,204 people. For District 2, we must lose 69,524. For District 3, we must gain 12,806. District 4, we must gain 48,367. District 5, we must gain 46,509. District 6, must lose 96,487. District 7, we must gain 37,479. And District 8, we must gain 2,649 people. So that's where the population shifts are within the state of Minnesota for our congressional plan. And now that we have quorum, I'm going to call us to order. Call the redistricting committee to order. And I think the first order of business should be approval of the minutes. Has anyone had a chance to look at those minutes and like to move them? Representative Dowd moves the minutes from May 3rd, 2011. Members, any comments or questions? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. Great. Okay. Members, so that's what we're looking at. I think the biggest change that you will see with the congressional district plan is the 7th and 8th going across the state versus going vertically. Otherwise, most of the other districts stay somewhat similar to what we have under our current plan. And with that, members, I'd like to first start with members' questions. If there are any questions at this moment. Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, could you point out the significant changes for each district, please? Since there's only 8, I thought maybe that.
Sure. Representative Murphy, I think the most significant change that you'll see is in the 7th and 8th, we go from east to west instead of north to south. In the previous plan, the 7th Congressional District extended all the way from the top of the state of Minnesota all the way down into, I believe it was into, all the way down to Lyon and Lincoln and Redwood. The 8th Congressional District in the past extended all the way down to Chisago and Ithanti, all the way from Cook and Coochiching. So those are the two significant changes. If you're looking at the 6th Congressional District, that had to lose quite a bit of population, and so it shrunk in size, and it lost basically the St. Cloud area. For the 3rd Congressional District, it got pushed out by the 5th and the 4th, needing to expand, so that got pushed out into McLeod County. For the 2nd Congressional District, it shed Wabasha, picked up Wabasha, but it also extended into Sibley and Nicollet. And then for the 1st Congressional District, that had to grow quite a bit. And so that grows all the way up to the Minnesota River and has that as a border on the north side. So those are the kind of the big changes, if you will, for the congressional districts.
Okay.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, on St. Cloud, could you explain a little bit of how your decision-making went into that split?
Into the split of St. Cloud?
Yeah.
Well, it's about population, basically. I mean,
just straight.
Yeah.
And then in the 7th and 8th, that was based on totally on population too?
Well, it's a combination of factors, Representative Murphy. When you're looking at the 7th and 8th Congressional District, I think that you would find the people of Cambridge have more in common with the people in Wilmer than they do, say, with the people in Grand Marais. So we did a change around for that, and that's why you have an east-to-west versus a north-to-south situation.
Madam Chair, at the hearing in Hermantown, Ron Dicklich, Don By, Peg Sweeney, Alan Netland, Steve O'Neill, Dan Urshan, and Wayne Pulford all talked about the congressional districts and that they recommended that 7th and 8th going together wasn't such a hot idea. And so because of common interests and the various differences that are already in the 8th district, let alone bringing in all the 7th district differences. And so that public testimony, was that weighed in at all?
Well, Representative Murphy, if you remember from that Hermantown hearing, we also had individuals that said that they felt more in common with the people on the west side of the state of Minnesota than they did with those in the southern central Minnesota. So we had a combination of testimony from citizens at that hearing. That's reflected in the map that we have before us today. And, you know, it's knowing that you live up in that area, obviously you know that it takes the snow a little bit longer to melt. And you see it a lot longer than you do in central Minnesota. And, you know, I know that from personal experience myself. As you know, I attended college at University of Minnesota Duluth, but I also grew up in the Wilmer area. So I kind of know the climate differences between the two and the difference of when a farmer gets in the field in central Minnesota versus when they get in the field in Hallock, Minnesota.
Madam Chair,
Representative.
I don't disagree with what you just said about the farming and so forth, but I do think that the miners and the loggers also, they have differences with the farmers in the Red River Valley, and I'm not sure that the transportation corridors are refined enough. There's a two-lane highway, but not much of a four-lane highway all the way across, and I wonder if that's going to create a problem.
Well, Representative Murphy, I think the last time I checked, there's no mining in Chisago or Pine County at all, and there is logging, actually, in Lake of the Woods. My father-in-law does logging in Lake of the Woods. So I think that there's a true argument that they have similar interests, and certainly you have Highway 2 that stretches the cross, and lots of different railroads, trust me, because I've traveled them.
I've traveled Highway 2 across following a grain train?
I've done it all, Representative Murphy. I'm a big traveler in the state of Minnesota. So.
All right.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And how did our plan compare to the DFL's plan that we drew up here?
We have not had any Democrat plans submitted at all, either for legislative or congressional districts.
And that's the point I want to bring up is, you know, Representative Murphy, I understand your concerns and stuff, but you had, you know, we've got a stack this high of stuff done by our side of the aisle, and you were given the same amount of funding and personnel to come up with your own plan. And to sit here and criticize the plan that is in hand here, I think, is really disingenuous when you really could have come up with your own plan. So, again, I think you've done a marvelous job here. And I down to the population numbers and the whole nine yards, you know, there's only so many ways to slice up a pie. And I think that we've done a great job. And so I just would say if there's a problem, then come up with your own plan.
Madam Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair. Representative, I believe if you'll go back to the tapes, you will find that my queries have been questions for further understanding. I don't believe that at any time have I been critical except of the process. I have not, in all these months, felt that there was an open process for presenting anything except one-to-one with committee members or the chair. I feel the committee chair has expressed many times that her door is open, that we were invited to give input, but never was there a clear understanding that we would be given anything back if we gave something forward. I've never said that we have not been using our staff or our machinery to develop something or not. There was no rule that said we would have dueling maps. There was no rule that said we were going to all reveal at one time. There was no rule that was told to me about what the staff or what the machinery was supposed to produce. Now, if you want to put new rules in at the tail end, you go right ahead. But everything that we have been doing has been for clarification and understanding. At the last meeting, I tried to get more understanding. I tried to get an explanation of what principles were the guiding principle for each of our districts, for more understanding, so that we would have as much understanding as you have to decide if indeed this is a good map. My questions this morning was indeed for informational purposes, not for criticism. I expect when this passes the floor, and I expect this will pass the floor. Last week, the bill passed the floor. I expected that to pass the floor. I have never said this is a terrible bill that won't serve the people of Minnesota. I said the process wasn't what I expected and what I wanted. And I could go into that again today. But I thought today I was going to start out with getting more information about this map and what was the thought that put them together. Chair's right on what she has told me today. People up on the range have more in common with some of the people in the West than they do with some of the people in South Central. I didn't have that understanding before because I haven't had the opportunity to ask the questions before. And so I took the time to do it. But I'm not throwing firecrackers across the room, or I'm not throwing bombs. And I've been very careful not to do that through this whole process, and to cooperate, and to reach out. But I want to hear from the people of Minnesota. This is unprecedented in the generations that I've been active in politics, to have the represent Fabian and I at the same political convention. Oh, it won't be, but my friends and neighbors that go to Representative Fabian's convention, they're not used to going across. And it'll take some getting used to. I want to know how they're going to get there. Highway 2? 210? How are people from Grand Portage going to get up to St. Vincent? I know how to get to Halleck, and I know how to get to Zippo Bay, and that's not so easy, but it usually go there for recreational trips. Information is what I was asking for.
Oh, well, Representative Murphy, I appreciate your comments, and Representative Scott, I'm not sure if you had any comments in reply. I think, some of the frustration, at least from my perspective, has been is that throughout the last 4 months, I've had a very open door policy, as you highlighted. I have visited your office on several different occasions. I sat down with you and Representative Poppy, which was an open door invitation to all the members at your request. I came to your office. I did a follow-up meeting with you. I brought with me a map of the state of Minnesota, and I specifically asked, what is it that you would like to see? And you gave me a list of things that you were looking at as far as you were looking at transit corridors, that you were looking at communication lines and things of that nature, things that didn't get adopted as part of our principles, which is all fine and well and good. But when it came down to the hard tack of actually what would you like to see, what line would you like to see drawn, where would you put that line, I never got any feedback from you. And for me, that's really frustrating because it's hard for me to incorporate anything that you're looking at doing if you don't give me an actual, this is what I'd like to see. Now, I did get feedback, as I highlighted before, from Representative Marcourt. He said that Oakport Township should be part of Moorhead because it's going to be annexed soon into the city. Great. We accomplished that. That's part of our legislative district plan. I got feedback from Representative Poppy that she said, if you Monroe County itself as a whole is one legislative seat, we accomplished that. So I think that's kind of the feedback, the particulars that I know from my perspective and actually getting down to drawing the maps that I was looking for. Because if you spend any time in the map room that you have with your staff that you've got right there, you really have to do that. It's all well and good to talk about, conceptually what you'd like to see done. But in reality, you have to be in that map room to figure out, okay, how is this going to impact the rest of the state? Where is the population growth? Where is the population loss? And so I think that's kind of, you have to roll up your sleeves on this job. This isn't something that you can just, talk in theoretical terms. So I guess that's kind of the frustration that I come from. But I do appreciate the comments that you have today, and hopefully moving forward you can provide a little bit more details. But Representative Marcourt.
Madam Chair.
I didn't know if Representative Scott wanted to reply. Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, I appreciate that, too. I guess I didn't know that was the question that was being asked at the time. And
that's the question I'm asking.
So the response did not come, and it was very frustrating not to know what the question was, too. But we're past that now. We have this map before us, and we had the map before us on Friday, and we're going forward. But we are still ready, like I said Friday on the floor, to draw maps together, to draw lines together.
Okay, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, this is just the start of my second term, and most of us in this room have never gone through this process, aside from yourself being on staff when it was done the last time. But what has history told us is, have both sides come up with a plan? Or is it just the party that's been in the majority that's come up with the plan?
My understanding was
that both did.
Looking back 10 and 20 years ago, all of the different entities, because each caucus, the two in the House and the two in the Senate, are each provided with the same equipment. They have the same staff, the whole kit and caboodle. So they each receive that as a resource to them to enable them to put together a map if they need, if they choose to. And they did 10 years ago. They did 20 years ago. I didn't look back 30 years ago, but I assume that would be the case 30 years ago as well. But at least in the last 20 years, that has been done in the last two redistricting rounds.
Thank you.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and you know what? Before we do that, I would like to quickly move the DE1 amendment to House File 1426. And if you don't mind, members, if we can just get the bill in the order and move for adoption of the DE1 amendment to House File 1426. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Now we have the bill before us, House File 1426, as amended. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And I know, Madam Chair, you asked the members if there were any questions. I think that was on this map. And you yourself said that the biggest change was in the northern part of the map. And I heard Representative Murphy simply asking questions, and now I see Representative Scott is gone, but I think that was certainly within the realm of what you were asking for. Representative Scott also asked, or just said, that traditionally both sides present a map. And you, Madam Chair, just said, yes, 10 years ago, you know for sure, both sides presented a map. 20 years ago, both sides presented a map. And I don't know how many years back. What were the results that occurred 10 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 40 years ago, and 50 years ago? The results were that the courts did our job. The courts came in and did the job that we should be doing for our elected constituents, the people that we represent. And I will state again that Representative Murphy's and the DFL Redistricting Committee and the DFL, our first and foremost goal this session was to do business not as usual. Not as we're talking traditional, that has led to a failure on the part of the legislature. Our goal was to have a bipartisan plan that was good for the state of Minnesota that could be signed by the governor. That was number one. That was number one. And if you can accept that framework, then which we are, why would you present dueling plans that for at least the last 20 years, as you have stated, Madam Chair, has resulted in failure in the courts having to come in and do this? We want, you know, folks back home said, don't do business as usual. We want things done differently. We want folks working together. We want the governor working with the legislature, legislature working with the governor. That has been our goal, first and foremost, to come up with a bipartisan plan. And so I felt personally also that presenting a dueling plan would be very counterproductive to that goal. And so I guess Representative Scott is gone. I wanted to direct some of these comments towards Representative Scott, but tradition here in this districting committee hasn't served the public very well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as the legislature doing its constitutional duty. It is our constitutional duty to draw these maps. And when we're doing probably, I feel, the most important thing that in terms of long-term policy and long-term impact on people for the next 10 years, that we should be doing that as a legislature, not relinquishing that responsibility. With those comments, I do have a couple questions, if I might, on the northern tier of the state. I know in Hermantown, I wasn't at that meeting, but in reading through the testimony, at least 10 folks there, testifiers, had concerns about putting the 7th and 8th together. And they mentioned just the different economies, where the old 8th was tourism and timber and taconite, and you have in the old 7th, that was a very strong agricultural-based district. You also had folks at that event in Hermantown talking about that there's different regional development districts that cover the 8th versus what would be the old 7th. Minnesota Department of Transportation has different, you know, they're divided into, I think, 10 districts or something. They have different districts that would not meld very well together. As Representative Murphy mentioned, transportation, some of the testifiers said it was easier to go north and south than east and west. And, you know, me living in Dilworth, I've gone to Duluth and back a few times, and there's no easy way to get there without getting into a lot of two-lane traffic. And so there's a number of reasons. And in looking at the way the 7th has been broken up, the 7th Congressional District had a very strong agricultural base. And I see that agricultural base being greatly weakened. And the other thing I would like you to consider, Madam Chair, is that flood mitigation and prevention has really been a big issue along the Red River. And with that district just going to the south of Clay County, you have the Red River actually being divided and split there, but also major tributaries, the Boise Sioux and the Otter Tail, that meet at Breckenridge and forms the Red River, would be broken up. So you've had a district where those major flood mitigation and prevention efforts have been together, now would be separated, and I think those efforts also weakened. So I guess one question I have for you, Madam Chair, is did you consider at all the flood mitigation and prevention efforts along the Red River and its tributaries as you devise that plan?
Well, Representative Marker, you've said a lot of different things in your comments here, and I want to address some of those. You know, when you're talking about tourism in the 8th Congressional District as it stands now, the 8th Congressional District does not contain Lake of the Woods in its current position, but I think you could largely argue that a bulk of the Lake of the Woods area economy is based on tourism. It's an enormous lake. There's resorts all along there. I've visited many of them. That's a huge industry, both in the summer and in the winter. And if you ever get a chance, I got to tell you this, I think this is a hoot and a half. If you go to Lake of the Woods in the middle of winter and go ice fishing, they have basically a bar on the ice that you have fishing holes. I've never seen anything like it before. So it's kind of a fun thing to see. But also you have a lot of the area up there, like I mentioned earlier, the logging, all of that plays into a factor of putting these together from an east to west. I think there is much more in common on an east to west versus what you would have if you were to keep things the way that we currently have. That 7th Congressional District would almost hit the Iowa border. You'd be going from Canada to Iowa. And I think the other thing to consider is when you go from east to west, you have all of Canada up on the northern end, okay? And there are a lot of significant issues that those border communities have to deal with a foreign country to the north of them, and I think that makes them as a community of interest as well. Some of the other things that you had mentioned is that you had concerns about weakening the 7th Congressional District from their ag economy. I would beg to differ. I think you're actually making the new 7th Congressional District more ag-centered. You look at all those communities from Chisago and Isani, all the potato farmers on there, and you're moving further west. You got corn and soybeans. All of those communities, they're all ag-centered in their economy. So I would beg to differ on that as well. Your comment was on the flooding piece of it. You know, we have flooding throughout the state of Minnesota. It's not just in the Moorhead area. Obviously, you guys experience quite a bit of it, but it is not unique to your neck of the woods. There's a lot of different factors that were put into play in looking at this, but those are kind of some of the thought process that we had in putting together this. Representative Dowd, I know you've been very patient.
Madam Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
Madam Chair, thank you so much. I appreciate those comments. On first of all, the agricultural base, you know, Wilkin and Traverse and Grant and Douglas, in what was the old 7th, I mean, that is very agricultural. And as you go all the way down to the Iowa border that is very agricultural. And so, I mean, I think it would be tough to argue that the new 8th would be more of an agricultural base than the old 7th or a potentially new 7th. I mean, that's, it just would go into naturally a more ag base. But, and the second thing, you know, I'm not just talking about Moorhead flooding. In, you know, Browns Valley has experienced flooding, which is in Traverse County. And Breckenridge, where the Otter Tail and Boise Sioux meet to form the Red, has experienced flooding in Wilkin County, and then all the way up. And that's what I'm saying, is that this new district breaks up that concerted effort for flood mitigation and relief in those areas when you break up Wilkin and Traverse. Once you go from Big Stone on the Minnesota, you're going south into the Minnesota watershed. But, you know, from Lake Traverse, which is down by Traverse County, right where that notch goes to the west, that all then begins to flow north. That goes into the, you know, the Boise Sioux and into the Red and up north. So you're breaking up that Red River watershed district. And so I, those are big concerns that I would have.
Representative Downton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just like to thank you for the work that you've done on this. Representative Markowitz started his comments talking about the process, and I know we've talked the process to death. I as far as I'm concerned, I felt like we were in deja vu there for a little bit, but I appreciate you bringing it back to the map, because what we have in front of us is a plan, and I think you know, we've got people, I'm sure, that are here to testify on that, and really I think we need to talk about the merits of what we have in front of us and not get into talking about you know, things that really aren't relevant. Just wanted to comment on a few different things. I live in what is currently the very southern edge of the 8th district. In fact, my house is a mile and a half from the 6th district in two directions. So I literally live right in the corner, southwest corner of Isani County. I would agree with your comment, Madam Chair, about the agricultural nature of this new 7th district, and my area doesn't have the tourism and those things, the forestry or logging and the mining that the northern part of the 8th district had. And I've always thought that was such a diverse, that really my area didn't have anything in common with the northern part of the 8th district. And I would certainly agree that the agricultural connection there, really, for the most part, all of the 7th district is very agricultural now on the new map. So I certainly appreciate that.
Thank you. Members, any other questions or comments? Representative Poppy?
Madam Chair, I do, but I just I defer to the public first. And
well, we're going to take members' comments first.
You'd rather do that?
Yep.
I just had some questions about the geographic size of, like, each of the districts in comparison to what they were in the past. So, the 7th and 8th, the 1st, all of them.
Sure.
Just if you have a square miles or geographic size or whatever.
You know what? I don't have, not off the top of my head. I can give you visually, though, what we're, Matt has it. Okay. Mr. Gehring. He's looking. Okay, while he's looking, I'll talk and fill in time. When you're looking at, because you can't just look at the existing map that we have in place, because, for example, the 7th Congressional District, as we know it today, has to gain 37,479 people. So as we know it today, it runs from Canada, and it goes all the way down to Lincoln, Ryan, and Redwood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it goes all the way down there. Based upon how much population that they would need to pick up, you would have to bring that district all the way down to the Iowa border. So it would be from Canada to Iowa that you would have under the existing plan. And then with the 8th Congressional District, they need to just pick up the 2649, so they'd have to bump out somewhere and split some community somewhere else. And then, but, you know, that geographical-wise, I'm guessing that's probably your biggest question. Then the issue becomes also the 1st Congressional District. As you see in our current map, it goes all the way up to the Minnesota River, And as it sits right now, it doesn't do that. It ends at the northern part of it is Pipestone, Marion, Cottonwood, and Brown. And so we have to bring it up to grab more population because that means a gain of 18,204 people. So that's kind of where you're battling out population problems for both the 1st, 7th, and the 8th. So that would change them significantly. But Mr. Gehring, were you able to find that data for us?
Madam Chair, Representative Poppe, I don't have the square mileage. I could follow up and get it to you afterwards.
Great. Representative Poppe.
And can I just thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Gehring, and that's fine to follow up. Then I see that you have some subdivision splits, and I'm just wondering if you could go through those. I'd appreciate that.
You bet. Okay. Let me grab my report. And actually, you'll be able to see this, Representative Poppe. It should be, I believe, is it in their packets? Or is this? Yeah, the population report in your packet. If you get towards the second to last page, it goes political subdivision split between districts. For counties in this overall plan, we only split 7 counties and we only split 7 cities and townships. And if you compare that to the current plan that we have, the current plan splits 8 counties and 7 cities. So we do one better on the county splits. Are you looking specifically at cities, Representative Poppe?
Madam Chair, you had this. So I was looking at the districts as well as the cities, and I don't know if there are any Minnesota House or Senate districts that you're splitting to.
If you, the report will tell you all the city splits, but if you're looking at the different subdivision splits, so you have in here, you've got North Mankato that is split between the 1st and the 2nd congressional district. And again, that's just an issue of population. You have in District 2 and 4, they split the Inver Grove Heights community. Districts 3 and 5, you have Brooklyn Park that's split. And that's split along the Brookdale Drive for Congressional District 3 and 5. For the city of Fridley, that is split between Districts 4 and 5. And again, this is just all an issue of population. District 4 and 6 split the community of Woodbury. And then Districts 6 and 7 split St. Cloud, with District 6 taking about 10,000 for St. Cloud and the remainder being with District 7. And then the last one is the Brainerd community, and that's split between District 7 and 8. And members, too, and I should note this to the public, too. The congressional plans are different than the legislative plans. In the legislative plans, we have a plus or minus 1% deviation. For the congressional plans, we are required by the U.S. Constitution to get down to zero deviation. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a deviation of not plus or minus 1%, but a deviation of 1%. And so that's why you see this, is trying to make sure that you get down to that 662,991 people to the person. So, yeah. Representative Poppe, any follow-up questions?
Not right now. Thank you.
Okay. Members, any other questions or comments? Okay. If not, at this time, we'll take any testimony from the public, anyone wishing to speak to the plan before us. And if you can come up to the table and please state your name and where you're from. All right. Seeing no testimony. Members, any other thoughts or comments? Oh, we have one fellow. Come on down. Please state your name for the record and where you're from. Welcome.
Yeah. My name is Adil Lari, L-A-R-I. I'm from Burnsville, Minnesota. I fully appreciate how complicated this redistricting is. 10 years ago, I was the member of the Governor Ventura's commission, so I went through this process. I know it takes a long time. I mostly agree with the principles which are articulated in House File 1426, The problem which I face is that we just saw the map yesterday, and I work in the community quite a bit. We neither have the time or the capacity. You know, you guys have all the capacity and all the. We do not have the capacity to be able to analyze it in such a short time to give input. You know, subdivision 6 talks about the minority population. Would like to see you in your analysis how that impacted and how different it is from the current one, the implication for it. And that will be very, very helpful for us to be able to give a meaningful input.
Sure. Well, and it's Lowry?
Lowry, L-A-R-I.
Okay. Appreciate you coming forward today. As you know, we have all of our list of criteria. I think the main one on this is the big driver on this is the population, of course, because we have to get down to the zero deviation. So that is the big driver, and that is also our number one priority on our list of principles. So as far as a minority representation, I think some of the things that you might find helpful is we're able to keep a lot of the tribes in northern Minnesota together by going from east to west versus north to south. You have White Earth, you have Red Lake, you have the Boys Fort, all of those different tribes that are in northern Minnesota that are kept whole versus being divided on a north to south plan. So that's the difference that you see in that area in particular. That's what comes to the top of my head right off the bat. So any other comments or questions, members? If not, Representative Poppy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's not for the testifier.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate you coming forward. Is there anybody else?
Madam Chair?
Representative Clark.
And I apologize. I just returned from being in another state with my dad, so I've really missed the whole testimony and presentation this morning. I apologize for that. But I did want to ask the witness who was here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mr. Lowry. Lowry. You could please come forward.
Madam Chair, maybe while he's coming, I'm just reading through this quickly, and this is the first time I've had a chance to look at it, too. It does say that there is one minority district created, is that right? One minority opportunity district created. And which one is that, Madam Chair?
Representative Clark, it's the 5th Congressional District. And if you actually look in your packet, you'll be able to
District 5, okay.
Yeah, you'll be able to view the minority report in there as well.
And I was just going to ask Mr. Lowry a question. Based on the issue of minority representation, are there, and I heard you say that you didn't have time to really analyze it. If you've had any time to analyze it, are there any parts of the minority representation issue that you would like to advise us on, or do you maybe you just need more time? I'm just wondering if you had any initial thoughts about that.
Mr. Lowry.
Mr. Chair, Madam Representative Clark, and no, we didn't have the time, you know, neither the capacity to do it in such a short time.
Right.
So we'd like to see some numbers in that regard, especially the Asian American community, which I am very actively involved in it, what the impacts on that community is.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
Are those numbers calculated in a way that the public can see them so that, for example, Mr. Lowry could look at the Asian community representation in the different district, different parts of it? Maybe they are again.
They are on the report.
And where would we find them?
In your packet.
In the packet?
Mr. Yang, can you help, please?
In this one here. Okay. In here?
Page 2-1.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, in your packet you have a packet of maps as well as a packet of reports that have data on them.
Two packets. There's three packets. Okay, got it.
And there's a stack of data that says minority report total population and minority report voting age population, and all the different census race classifications are included on that report.
Thank you. Mr. Lowry, have you have a chance to see these? If not, I'm happy to share them.
Mr. Chair, Representative,
Mr. Lowry?
No, I didn't have the opportunity to look at it. It is on the website then?
Mr. Chairman, is it on the website?
Do we have an extra copy that we could share with him at this time?
And it can be found on the website as well?
It will be put on the website if it's not. It's all on the GIS website, yes.
Okay. That's sometimes tricky to navigate, but if we can help with that, I'd
like. Well, you've had experience, Mr. Lawyer, right?
Well, GIS was not as powerful 10 years ago as it is today, so.
Neither was I. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure the staff would be willing to help you with that, Mr. Chairman. And I think that's true for anyone in the public who hasn't had a chance to really navigate. I know it was tricky to navigate it the first time I went in, so I encourage you to use our staff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will do that and provide the comments.
Thank you for taking time to come and testify. Is there anybody else that would like to testify before the committee today?
Oh,
I'm not as powerful as I was a little bit ago.
All right, Representative Poppy, you have one question?
Thank you, Chair Anderson. I do have a question, and it's regarding the District 1 and 2 split, the North Mankato. I just wanted to understand, I know that we had some testimony from Mr. Hengis, the city manager, about the split of the Minnesota House districts, and I'm just trying to understand, is the split the same in the congressional district, or would it be different, and would that mean that then Mankato, North Mankato, that area would be split into two congressional districts as well as two House districts? I'm just trying to understand, because I'm not reading the map very well, I think, so I just wanted to ask that question.
Representative Poppy, this has been kind of the issue. You know, some members that would like to see that all of the legislative districts are nested within a congressional district, and there's no requirement of us to do that. It's not part of our principles. And, you know, a good reason why that's not the case is because of the zero deviation. You just can't physically do that. It's not feasible to do that, and so that's why we don't have that. And you are going to have circumstances where some of the legislative districts might be into a different congressional districts, and it's just a reality of getting to that zero deviation. It just doesn't allow you to have them all completely nested. And I believe that is I'd have to go back and look to make sure, but I'm guessing that would be to some degree some of that you're going to have here. And if you don't have it here, you're going to have it somewhere else. Some community is going to experience that. What we tried to do is minimize that as much as possible, and we tried to minimize the splits as much as possible, and that's why you only see seven cities that are split overall and seven counties that are split overall. Representative Poppy.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So of those seven cities that are split, I just wanted to know if they're also split the House and Senate, or if, you know, in the legislative plan, if it's the same kind of split versus the congressional plan.
Representative Poppy, perhaps if you still have your maps from the last go-around, I don't know if you kept those at all. Now, let me look these up. So we get the North Mankato. Do you remember what the number was? They're all going to be different. I think what would help you the best, Representative Poppy, if you did keep your political subdivision split from your legislative plan, that tells you how a county is split and what legislative districts it's split into, and does the same for the cities as well that are split. So, for example, let's just see if we can find what county would that be. Here we go. So, and then the list I want. You would, in the Nicollet, the North Mankato one in particular, yes, you would have two congressional districts for the city of North Mankato. Now, for the city of Mankato itself, that's all enveloped in one congressional district. Any other follow-up questions, Representative Poppe? And I can go through this with you afterwards. Is that helpful? Okay. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, are you planning to vote on this today?
Yes.
Madam Chair, if I might ask a question for Representative Fabian. Representative, how long does it take to get from Roseau to the Capitol by car or vehicle?
And when you answer that, can you tell me how long it takes you to get from the Canadian border to the Iowa border as well?
Madam Chair, Representative Marquardt, it takes me 6.5 hours.
Representative Marquardt?
To get from Roseau to the state capitol, it's 360 miles. To get from the Canadian border to the Iowa border, I don't recall having made that trip, but I do know it takes 12 hours to get to Topeka, Kansas. It's a long ways, obviously.
So, Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, this is the chance, if we're going to vote today, for the public to be able to respond and comment to this plan. And if someone wanted to travel from Roseau to attend this 10:15 meeting today and to make sure that they at least got in the town and knew where to go and so forth, they'd have to leave Roseau at 3 a.m. in the morning. And if that wasn't an option, the plan was released at 10 a.m. yesterday. They would have had to have this person in Roseau to have been able to locate the map on the computer somewhere at least by 10 a.m. And I don't know how much the publicity and information got out to folks around the state. But at that point, if they're planning on traveling, and at least not be traveling too late into the night and be able to get a motel room, which is going to cost some money, and food along the way, which is going to cost some money, and gas to get here and back to cost some money, they would have to leave Roseau probably about 3:30 yesterday afternoon to get in around 10, 11 o'clock, which means if they work, they're going to have to leave work early. There's some more lost money. So I think in reality, when you call this a public hearing, if that's what it was for the state of Minnesota, certainly there are folks who were at a great, great disadvantage when you have it open for public input for right now about 1 hour, just one day after a plan that's released that no one has seen any hide nor hair of up until 10 a.m. yesterday. And so again, process does make a difference, and I would ask that you not vote today, that you allow folks around this state to truly take a good look at this map. Remember, this is not our map. This is not the legislature's map. This is not the redistricting committee's map. It's not the Republicans' map, and it's not the Democrats' map. It is the people's map. It is the people's of the state of Minnesota who are going to live under its implications and impacts for the next 10 years. It's the 5.3 million Minnesotans that this map belongs to. Give them a fair, reasonable amount of time to review the map and comment on the map. And you know, if we truly want, and I know it's our goal here on this side of the aisle, to get a bipartisan map, nonpartisan map, whatever you want to call it, that can be signed by the governor, I think we need to listen to the people around this state about this map. And for folks who have to come a long way, I don't think it's realistic to say that within 24 hours they have to be here and given basically 1 hour to testify or whatever that would be. So, Madam Chair, I would ask that you not vote today. For the people of the state of Minnesota, you give them more time to review this map, and I seriously ask that you consider that.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Marquardt, I appreciate your concern for Roseau. I will say this. I believe that, as I mentioned yesterday to a reporter that who asked me about the distance from Roseau to Duluth, I said, you know, I don't have any desire to be a U.S. congressman. But that being said, I feel like I can represent the people of Donaldson, Minnesota, every bit as well as I can represent the people of Duluth, Minnesota. Two extremes in this map, one on the Red River to the west and Duluth to the east. And as the lady said who testified here earlier, not today but in one of our previous meetings, she congratulated Chair Anderson and the committee on the work that they had done and recognized how vastly complex it was, and we heard that from our testifier today as well. In the end, we are all Minnesotans, and I guess I'm willing to move forward.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Representative Clark?
Well, just two things. One, I just wanted to know, I appreciate the thank the staff. I just did have some copies made of the document that has the population summary and the so that people can, if people here, if you want to, there's some extra copies of the minority representation document there, so you can look at it if you haven't had a chance to actually look at it. Representative Fabian, I thought I heard the person who testified say that he would like more time. Did I maybe there was a previous testifier? What I heard him say most repeatedly was he would like some more time. Am I correct, or did you hear something different, Representative Fabian?
No, I was just commenting on the fact that he was here and sharing his ideas.
Representative Clark.
Well, his main idea was that he would like some more time, if I recall, so that he and others, other communities of interest, other minority communities, and the population at large could have more time to digest it. I thought that's what I heard him say, and I just want to keep the record clear that that was the main point that he made.
Representative
Fabian.
Yep, Chair Anderson and Representative, I was simply commenting on the recognition of the fact that how complicated this process really is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Members, any other questions or comments at all? All right. Seeing none, I renew my motion on House File 1426 to be passed and sent to. Okay, and there's been a roll call requested and sent to Rules Committee. All those in favor of House File 1426? Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot. Ms. Hensing.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Fabian.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
No.
Representative Doubt.
Yes.
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Hoppe.
Yes.
Representative Hortman.
No.
Representative Loon.
Yes.
Representative Marquardt.
No.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Poppy.
No.
Representative Scott.
Aye.
There's 7 ayes and 5 nays.
The motion passes, and the bill goes to the Rules Committee next. Members, with no other business, we are adjourned.